Hi, and thanks for downloading this week's episode of the IVMB podcast. I'm one of the co-hosts of this podcast. My name is Corey, and this is different than our usual episodes because it is an interview. Joining me this week is John Arguello from the blog Cubs Den. And John recently released his top Cubs prospects list. And in this interview, we will discuss the biggest names in the Cubs system and then the prospects that we could see as early as the 2016 season. Before we get into that, this upcoming Wednesday, that's January 13th, we will be participating in the Blab Fan Appreciation Day. And we use Blab to live stream our episodes, and they asked us to participate in that this year. And we thought it sounded like fun. It's from 8 to 9 p.m. Central on Wednesday, and we'll just kind of leave the topics of discussion up to you. We can talk about the Cubs. When we went to spring training last year, we did a thing where we kind of just answered questions about ourselves, so we can do some of that, and there will be an empty seat on the broadcast so we can take some live calls. Again, that is this Wednesday at 8 p.m. Central. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook for the links, and I will put a link for the Blab session in the notes for this episode at IVMB.com. As I mentioned, John Arguello is joining me on this episode. He runs a great Cubs blog over at Cubs Den. John and his team, they do a fantastic job, and I would strongly encourage you to add that blog to your reading list. So here is my discussion with John Arguello from Cubs Den. All right, John, thanks for coming back on the IVMB podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So you recently published your top 25 Cubs prospects list over there at Cubs Den, and I will provide the link in the show notes for this episode so people can go to the post for this episode and click through it. But before we get to some of the names on the list, I'm wondering if you can share how you put this list together, and is there a formula that you use to determine placement on that list, or do you look at past performance, projected future performance, position value, and then slot them in? You know, we kind of see these prospects list all over with different blogs and publications. And I guess because I've never put one together, I realize that I have no idea what exactly goes into making these lists.
Well, all of what you said, it does go into it. I do go on some past performance. It really depends on the level, because rookie level or DSL past performance, it's not really going to tell us a lot. Statistics don't tend to stabilize that quickly. But there are some things that can be encouraging, even at those lower levels, like strikeout rates, for example. What I do is, I go out and see all these players, and every player on this list, except with the exception of any Julio Martinez, I have seen play. And I pretty much have seen every Cubs prospect multiple times at some point, especially since I've been here in Arizona. So part of it is my own observations. I also survey some contacts in the industry, whether it be scouts, coaches, instructors, and get their opinion as well. They don't actually help me make a list or anything. They don't tell me, well, this guy is, should be number 10. But, they just kind of give me information. A lot of times, what I do is kind of see if it'll support what I'm already thinking. Sometimes they'll give me a name that I hadn't thought about, and I'll revisit. Or sometimes there's a guy that I liked, and they're like, and so then I'll kind of take a second look at that as well. But some of the other things you mentioned, positional value, it does mean something. I mean, if you can get a guy who could play center field with the same skill set, obviously, as a left fielder, you want the center fielder, and that's pretty much what, as for one example, what had me put Almora over McKinney. Now, both could be good players. I think they could be similar in terms of production. McKinney may be the better all-around hitter there, but Almora plays center field and adds value defensively as well. So that's a big deal. That's a big part of it as well.
So last year we saw the Cubs pull up a ton of talent from the minor league system. Common sense would tell you that in a way that would deplete the system a little bit, at least deplete it of the top caliber prospects at the higher levels. We saw the Cubs pull up players that we thought maybe would be maybe in like the second wave of prospects, but we saw them pull them up almost immediately. when the team showed that they were competitive early in the 2015 season. So with Bryant and Russell, Schwarber, Soler out of the minor league system, what's your sense of the overall strength of the Cubs farm system right now?
Well, it's been slightly weakened as far as impact value at the top. Most systems aren't going to replace a Bryant, a Russell, and a Schwarber right off the bat, but they're still very deep. And they've got guys like Gleyber Torres, who's just 18. He could step it up into the next level. Got a lot of the next places may go as far as impact, maybe the pitching, a very young pitching. And I know that Cub fans are really looking forward to actually developing some pitching prospects the way the Mets did, because it's so much cheaper to get that than to get that through free agency. That may be on the way. I mean, they haven't had much in the way of frontline starting prospects pretty much since the new front office got here. But there look like there may be a couple, two or three starting to develop. So we'll see how that goes.
So let's start with the players that we may see up with the Cubs in 2016, starting with position players. If all goes well, you'd expect that it's possible to maybe see Albert Almora perhaps later in the season. You have Almora as the number five prospect. And other than some action in spring training last year, I haven't seen Almora since he was with Kane County in low A. And even then, there was no doubting his glove and his range in center field. It was pretty impressive to watch. What do you see for Almora in 2016 and maybe beyond?
Yeah, I would say Kane County, he was hitting really well, too. But he's a contact guy. He makes harder contact than you think. And the problem with him had been the approach. But as far as where he's going to be in 2016, he has to start at AAA. I think being in AA last year and having that full season at the AA level really did him a lot of good, because he really started to come around at the end in terms of his approach. He started to take more pitches and work more counts, get pitches that he can drive, and he started to hit the ball better at the end. It seems like he's always been playing catch-up with the league. He'd always been young for his league. He'd been promoted quickly. He'd missed time, development time, because of injuries. So it always felt, in a sense, that he was trying to catch up with the bat. I think he may have finally caught up last year. So just putting him in AAA and letting him succeed there first, I think is the best plan for him. You never know what's going to happen, like what did with Addison Russell last year, and they had to call him up a lot earlier than they thought. But, I could see how more probably in the ideally coming up at the end of the year rather than somewhere early. But, of course, circumstance can always change.
So do you think that some of those things that he improved with later in the season in 2015 in AA, do you think those are things that he's going to be able to carry over immediately to AAA, or do you see him kind of struggling a little bit starting off the season in Iowa?
You know, that's hard to say. Sometimes the light just clicks and he gets it. And I think that some of that did happen with him. And sometimes it's just it just happened to be the right sample size at this time of year, and we're having false hopes about the numbers you put up late. But I don't think so. I think there's a little bit of the light bulb going on as far as the approach. I think we'll see it carry over into Iowa. Maybe not the same degree, but I think he can be perhaps an average offensive player, and then he'll have that great defense.
Are there any other position players on your list that you think we might see with the Cubs in 2016?
Wilson Contreras is one. He's another guy I think needs a full year at AAA. And, we've heard about his catching skills. He moves really well back there, throws well. He's improved his pop times. But he's, he can be a little erratic at times. And he's still kind of learning to know when to put the ball in his pocket rather than absolutely having to make a play. He's very competitive out there. He doesn't want you to steal a base on him. He doesn't want you to get a bunt single when he can field it and throw you out. You know, he's very competitive, so he's going to have to learn, well, that, you can't win them all, and in that case, not throw the ball away all the time. So it's it reminds me a bit of Wellington Castillo late in the minors, where he was just trying to, kind of clean a little bit of those things up and like Castillo, he's working on the game management portion of his handling pitchers, something that he seemed to be taking a lot of pride in this fall. I know that was a challenge brought to him, and he loves a challenge. So he's been working more closely with pitchers. He's, you know, the framing is something that is a bigger thing in baseball. And he definitely has the strength, you know, in his neck and his forearms and wrists to be able to frame pitches. It's just a matter of him learning the technique.
Yeah, I mean, Contreras has really gotten a lot of attention recently, and I know that you're high on him. Where does he fit in with this catching traffic jam that the Cubs have right now?
Yeah, I think right now he really doesn't. And I think what they really like is for Montero to continue to play well, to lead. Maybe I know he struggled toward the end of last year. You know, maybe kind of get back to where he was a little bit earlier in the year, where he's productive on offense. They don't really need him to be that productive. I mean, he's probably going to be their seventh or eighth hitter. So that, manage the game, frame pitches. And I think that's all they really need from him right now. You know, give him some good at-bats, which he's capable of doing, and some occasional pop. And hopefully you just get by the whole year with Montero and Ross, and then you worry about Contreras next year.
Do you see, I mean, just to kind of bring Schwarber into the picture, do you see Contreras as really just kind of keeping Schwarber out of that catcher position just for the defensive reasons?
It's, you know, it's an interesting comparison because they're very different. I mean, Schwarber is a born leader out there, and he's the kind of personality you want behind the plate. You know, he's going to take charge. He's going to, once he learns, you know, those nuances, he's going to be the guy managing the game, managing his pitchers. You know, so there is some value to that. I don't know physically if he can handle the grind because he's such a big muscular guy to be able to do that every day. You know, I think maybe the combination of the two where Schwarber comes in and catches some games every so often, like an Evan Gattis, something of that nature. I don't see him as a full-time catcher. I know he really works hard and he really wants to catch, and he puts his mind on to something, and you know, I don't want to rule him out. He's you know, he's going to do everything he can to reach that goal.
You've already brought up pitching, and for a number of years it's been clear that the Cubs have kind of a gaping hole as far as elite starting pitching in the minor league system. Their strategy of drafting big bats, college bats in the first round of the draft, and then loading up on lots of pitching in the other rounds has kind of led to this glut of pitching, but nothing that, I mean, just from a layperson's viewpoint, nothing looks premier. Of course, the hope is, among other things, that through player development, they'll be able to shape these guys into good starting pitching, and maybe there's a few diamonds in the rough. You have one pitcher on the top five. Can you talk about him and then where things are with just pitching overall in the system?
All right. Dwayne Underwood is the guy I have in the top five. And Dwayne Underwood has got a live arm. He's got very good arm speed. He's really gone a long way as far as developing his whole game. He's how to approach hitters. He's improved his command. He's improved his changeup, where it's an above-average pitch now, along with his curve. So he's got a chance to have three above average pitches, a fastball that he can throw in the mid 90s. He's got the curve, which is improved in terms of its consistency. He doesn't hang them quite like he used to in King County and before that. And then he's got a changeup now that he can use for offhand hitters. So that combined with his command and improved pitchability, he looks like he could be something like a mid rotation starter. I don't know if he can be a top of the rotation guy. He's not that. He doesn't have that one unhittable pitch that you associate with it, like the Arrieta cutter or anything like that. Or John Lester's curveball lately has been such a good pitch for him. I don't know if he has a quite that yet. It may develop in time, but I see him as a mid rotation guy. But there's two other guys in the top 10 that I like as possible top of the rotation guys, but they have a lot of work to do, a lot of development. The first one is Oscar De La Cruz, who's just a big pitcher. He's listed at 6'4". He looks like he may already be 6'6". He's lean. He's athletic. He can spin the curve. And the changeup lags behind, but he pounds the strike zone. He's got that good downward plane, so he goes right after hitters. He attacks them. He's not, he's not going to nibble. He's going to come right after you. He'll pitch inside if he has to back you off the plate. And he's not going to run from you. He's going to come right after you. He's one of my favorites, and he still projects. He can still fill out and get stronger. Right now the fastball is 92, 93, but he's hit 97 in the past, and there's some thought that he can stay at that level more consistently as he gains strength and stamina. The other pitcher with some top-end potential is Dylan Cease, who's he doesn't have the physicality. He's about 6 feet tall. I think he's listed at 175, but he looks more than that. He's solid, muscular, again, a lean, athletic build. And for someone that small, he doesn't generate a lot. He generates a lot of velocity, but without a lot of effort. He's consistently 95 to 97. He's just coming off Tommy John, so he would wear down or he would lose his mechanics. Sometimes we'd see that drop. But when he had his mechanics going well and early in the game, he was consistently 95, 97. I've said that I've seen him hit 100 on the gun before. Anytime he pitches in instructs, everybody kind of gathers around the radar gun to see what he's going to throw. And he'll often hit 98, 99. But he's probably best at 95 to 97, which got really good movement, some occasional run. The lack of effort, he doesn't look like he's throwing that hard. He's got a little hitch in that delivery, a little kind of jumps toward the hitter a little bit. So he can throw some timing off. That fastball plays really well. Then he's got a secondary curveball that is really inconsistent right now, but he spun a few good ones in Arizona. It's going to take some time, and then the changeup too is coming along. But we should see some improvement with those secondaries. Hopefully this year, he was mostly a fastball guy when I saw him in Arizona.
So the other two guys in the top five list that you have that we haven't really touched on yet, Gleyber Torres and Ian Happ. Can you touch on those guys real quick?
Yeah, Gleyber Torres is a real polished kid. He's, 18? I think he just turned 19, and he finished the year in Myrtle Beach, advanced A-ball as an 18-year-old, which is tremendous. He's got good tools. He's not an explosive player where – you're going to say, wow, this guy can really run, or wow, he can really field or throw. He just does everything well. He does everything above average. He does a couple of things plus. He has a chance to be a plus hitter, a plus glove at short. He's got a plus arm. Power, he might have average, maybe even above average power. Speed, the same way. He's not a burner, maybe above average runner. He'll probably fill out a bit. So he's just a good all-around shortstop. But the thing that really makes him so good is his instincts and his intelligence. And so he plays up those tools better than what they be. And he's a potential all-star for them, whether it be at short or second. He may not be able to move Addison Russell, who's done so well there. The other guy in that top five is Ian Happ. And Ian Happ is their first-round pick from last year. He's a switch hitter. He's a little better from the left side right now. He's got good power, above average speed. He's got very good bat speed. He swings. He takes a really, really hard swing up there, and he'll make some loud contact. Not Javi Baez type hard swing, but he takes a rip. He doesn't get cheated up there. And he's versatile. He's a good athlete. He's been trying him out at second base. At first, I thought he looked a little stiff there when he first started, but he's there every day. He was staying late, working on that defense. And by the end of instructs, I got to thinking this guy can play a little bit. I think he's got a chance to stick second. And if not, he probably has the bat to play. He definitely has the bat to play center and possibly left field as well.
So one player I wanted to ask you about is Dan Vogelbach. I looked at Fangraph's most recent prospect list. They have him towards the top. You have him at number 23. So I was kind of curious what the reason for the discrepancy there is.
Yeah, that was curious to me to see him at six. I'll be curious to see if anybody else has him that high. I think that's going to wind up being the outlier, to be honest. Vogelbach is a DH, basically, right now. He's not a good defender. He's not a National League player under any circumstance. So I think he'll probably have to wind up moving to the American League. The approach is great. I mean, he's an intelligent hitter up there. But, you know, I don't know. I think that was mentioned in Fangraphs. But to be honest, I don't know if it was just the injury, because I've never seen him incorporate a lot of lower body into his swing. I think he's an upper body guy. I think that, you know, maybe tamps down that power just a little bit. You know, I don't see 80 power with him or 70 power. And if that's your best tool and you're a first baseman DH, then there's not a whole lot of stardom there. And if he can't, if he can't be a starter, then there isn't much use to him other than being a pinch hitter off the bench who can't give you any speed. He can't give you any defense or anything like that. So he winds up not having a whole lot of utility for you. So that's why I bumped him down. He's so bat dependent, and specifically that power, which I am not sure is going to be that much above average. I would probably call it plus power, but I don't see plus power right now. And to me, that comes out to be a pretty good first baseman, you know, but nothing I'd put near the top of my list right now. I'd love to be wrong. He's a fun guy. He's got, he's outgoing out there, and he's a good hitter. I call him a grinder up there more than anything. I mean, he grinds out his at bats. He takes every pitch seriously. So, yeah.
Are there any players either down on your list or maybe even off the list that you would expect to make big jumps this season?
Yeah, as far as guys on my list, you may have heard me rave a little bit about DJ Wilson, who I thought was one of the most exciting players I saw in Cubs instructs. He's a little guy. I mean, when I say little, he's 5'8". Or so. He's not little because he's like wrought out of iron. He's solid, and he's got surprising pop. They had a home run derby here. He came in second, and he got off to a real quick start. I think he may have tired at the end going up against a bigger guy who had a little bit easier power, but he's got really good bat speed. You can hear the contact. He's one of those guys that it sounds a little different when he hits the ball. And then, of course, he's just a real good athlete. He plays with a lot of energy. He's one of the fastest players in the organization, shows great range in center field. He shows a good, accurate arm. I'd say it's at least major league average, and he'll play in center field. He's just a dynamic player. I mean, he does everything with a lot of energy and with a lot of excitement. You know, everything is with just a little bit of burst in there that makes him very different than a lot of players the Cubs have. He's more of an explosive type player. Ryan Hudson at 19, he's 6'8", and he's got a lot to fill out. If he can get strong right now, I saw him in 89, 91. I think he hit 92, 93 later in the fall in instructs. He's got a chance to spin a real good curveball. So we got a guy that's 6'8", who could fill out, get stronger, throw mid-90s, throw a good curveball, and that could be a player that makes a huge jump. Eddie Julio Martinez, who I have not seen yet, some people think he's the next Andrew Jones. I'm really looking forward to seeing him this spring. All-around player, good speed, kind of more of a thick-bodied guy, so some people think he won't be able to retain the speed. Might have to move to left. Some people think he won't hit for power, so they think he'll be a tweener if he has to play left and doesn't hit for power. So he gets some mixed reviews. But if he can stick in center and if he can hit for even average power there, that's quite a ball player right there. He's another guy who can move up quickly off. That's off the list right now.
I think a lot of people listening to this episode will be at spring training this year. We're heading out there in March. I can't wait to get out there. It's miserable here right now, weather wise. So,
we're having a mild winter here too, it's only like 50 something and 60s, low 60s. So.
Yeah, the wind chill here this morning was 31 below. So.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So, but at spring training, I really enjoy the backfields, and I think that a lot of fans just go to the games while they're out there, and they don't explore the backfields very much. For people going to Mesa for the first time, or for people that haven't spent a lot of time on the backfields, do you have any tips? Tips on how to see certain things, what time to get there, and what to watch for.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely go to the backfields for one. It's free. They have four fields back there. They usually rotate with infield and outfield catching drills and batting practice. As they get later in extended spring training and things start to get a little stale, they'll put in some competition, like the home run derby I mentioned. I would usually get there around 10 and then just stay there until however long they played. The Cubs don't have so much of a set schedule as most teams do as far as playing games. So you just kind of have to stick around and maybe they'll play a game there. Maybe they'll play an inter-squad game. Sometimes you just even play a game with a pitching machine out there. So, you know, my advice is to get there early and stick around and talk to the people there. I mean, everybody there is really friendly. I mean, I don't talk so much to the ball players. I just kind of let them do their work. But, you know, the coaches there tend to be very friendly. Anybody who works there tends to be very friendly. And definitely you can ask around and see what the what's going on for that particular day or that particular week. And you'll see me there, too. So you can always ask me. I'm always back there. So.
Yeah, it's just a really neat experience. Last year I was at spring training. There was like an inter-squad team, they were playing like a Canadian team of like 17 and 18 year olds. And it was a lot of fun to watch, but I really enjoy some of the slower times back there. I really enjoy watching the coaches work with the younger players. And by young, I mean, you know, 16, 17, 18 years old. And you can literally hear them coaching, and you can hear a lot of the conversation back there. And I just think, and it's such a casual, just vibe back there. I think it's really interesting and really kind of unique.
Yeah, it really is. It's really interesting. You can kind of get a feel for what players are working at, get a feel for who they are. You see some guys there, they're always asking questions, and you know, you love those players, and you think, they're going to make it. Not that, I mean, the Cubs do a real good job of bringing in a lot of good players. So that's kind of a norm where you have these guys who work well, are always asking questions. But it's fun to see, you know, and it's also fun to kind of see when they're just simple drills, you know. And
right.
And you kind of get a feel for how one guy goes to his right when you see, you know, four shortstops in a row with ground balls to their right and then ground balls to their left. And you kind of almost get an instant comparison and you get a kind of a feel for what the player's strengths are just from watching them all play at the same time and doing the same repetitive things one after the other. You get a feel in batting practice. Sometimes during the game, you know, you might not get to get too much of a feel of a hitter's swing or his power. And I know it's just batting practice, but, you know, you can really get a sense of just how much raw power there is in a hitter, or just how easily they make contact and can spread it all over the field. So there's a lot of interesting to watch, even if there's not a game there.
Right.
I kind of like it when there isn't a game.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the way I am. And the first time that I went over in to Fitch and watched, this was probably 5 years ago or so, and I was just fascinated that here these are professional baseball players and the coaches were literally working with them on like which base to throw to and some of the things that I remember from Little League. And it's like, wow, that's really interesting.
Oh yeah. I don't know if you saw my piece on Instructs, but I have a close up of the bag, and they even paint the part of the bag where they want you to hit your foot and push off of.
Right.
So it gets down to the basic fundamentals.
Yeah. It's really interesting. So you're in Arizona now. You're able to spend a lot of time at Sloan and all of the practice fields. So most of us that are familiar with the backfields and know what happens there in February and March, but we're not real sure about what happens the rest of the year. And you're there for that. So can you kind of explain just what goes on the rest of the year there at the facility?
Yeah, after spring training, they have what's called extended spring training, and those are the minor leaguers who are going to play short season ball, whether it be in Arizona, here in Mesa, or Eugene. And those players, they'll play some games against other teams. They'll play some inter-squad games. Basically, what they're doing is trying to prepare for the short season league. So they're just kind of staying fresh, getting some reps, and in some cases, even auditioning which team they're going to play for. Oscar De La Cruz is one example of a guy who played so well. He was just coming off a DSL, and he just skipped Arizona altogether and then went to Eugene and then wound up having a great year there as well. After the extended spring training, they get assigned, and then you get the kids who are in Mesa will stick around, and they'll play at the big stadium, and that's called the Arizona Rookie. So what you get there are a lot of 18, 19-year-old guys. What's really fun for people who follow the game closely, too, is it's your first look at the guys they just drafted in June. That's almost all of them go to Arizona, even the first-round picks, at least for a few games before they move on to whatever level you play. So the Arizona Rookie League starts, I want to say, somewhere around July, and then lasts to the end of the summer. And then after that, you have instructional league, which is split up into two parts. You have what I was kind of talking about with the drills and the younger players. And then they have an advanced instruct team, which is higher level players. Dan Vogelbach plays there, Dwayne Underwood, Chesney Young, Sean Dunston Jr., Victor Caratini. So some good players there. And what they do, what they did last year anyway, is they had a co-op of the Anaheim Angels, Los Angeles Angels, and they combined to make a team, and they played other teams around Arizona for what they call advanced instructs. And then, of course, there's the fall league, which is played at Sloan. They play advanced instructs on field one, which is the one closest to the stadium.
Right.
And then the fall league is played in Sloan Park. And, of course, that is 6-7 representatives from your team against representatives from the other team, and they combine teams and create a roster.
John, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us. And if people would like to read your pieces, which I would strongly suggest, and follow you on Twitter, where can people find you?
On Twitter, they can find me at CubsDen, and they can find me at AZL Baseball part-time during the year, during the fall league, and then we'll start that up again in spring. And spring through the fall, but I'll be at Cubs Den all year. And then, of course, there's a blog, which I don't, it's Cubs Den, and it's at Chicago now. And I can get you the exact address here.
Yeah, I'll put the link in the show notes. So if you know, anybody's interested, just go to ivmv.com and look at the post for this episode, and the link will be in there.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, John, thanks again.
Facebook page as well, which I'm trying to get out there more. I don't think a lot of people know about that, but there's a Facebook Cubs Den as well.
Okay, great. I'll put the link in for that too. So, John, thanks again, and hopefully we'll run into each other in March on the backfields.
Yeah, absolutely. You'll see me back there, so just stop me and, you know, say hello, and we'll talk some baseball.
All right, will do.
All right.